And welcome to the HalfGuarded.com Power Hour. Happy New Year. Happy last day of Kwanzaa, I believe, Dan.
Well, that, of course I know that. That's my holiday.
Yes. How's the week off? I think that's our first week off
ever. I think it's the first time we've ever missed a show, which was because we checked out the metrics on last year's Christmas show. Yeah, it was good. It's good. Enjoyed it. I don't know why I'm getting defensive. But I had a great time. Why are you asking me?
I had a fun holiday season. Sad to see it end, but it's pretty much over now. Right?
Yeah. Well, the fun thing was where I am, at least, Christmas was like really hot. It was like 60 degrees. Mm-hmm. And as soon as Christmas was over, it turned into like unnaturally ungodly cold. Which I'm assuming most people in the country are going through the same thing.
Well, there's a parts of southeast Georgia getting snow right now.
It's snowing about 10 minutes from me, but not on me, perfect in my opinion.
It's like a bit of crisp, like 16 degrees here the past couple of days.
Yeah, it's been in the teens here.
I'm just like, this must be what it's like to live in Chicago.
Well, see, here's my opinion on snow. Like, let me do like a Joe Lanza-style bullcrap for about 10 minutes on something. That's not in any way related to the title of our podcast. But here's my deal with snow. All right, I'm going to get up and pace. The deal with snow, I don't know. I'm trying to have attitude.
What's the deal with snow?
Okay. Okay, Jerry Seinfeld.
Have you heard this? Have you seen this? Snow.
But I loved snow as a kid, right? Like when you're 9, nothing's better than snow because you don't have to go to school. But... like, that is the moment you realize you're an adult, right? When you start hating snow because you realize you'll still have to go to work. And it's just going to be shitty.
Yeah, it's shitty. And then, like, your power goes out for some reason.
Oh, yeah. My power goes out if it rains really hard where I am.
Yeah. Well, we had a snowfall a couple of weeks ago here in Atlanta. And my power went out for, like, 5 hours.
That's no good.
The worst thing that's ever. It was my personal Katrina.
I hate it when I get Katrina'd.
I got Katrina'd. It was no fun. So yeah, bundle up because the weather's getting even worse. You saw that.
Yeah, and the horrible thing is, I'm one of those people that can't stand to like, I don't like people who wear pajamas to sleep in are basically like history's greatest monsters, in my opinion.
I've been wearing pajama pants all day.
That's terrible. That's absolutely terrible. But then when you're trying to sleep and then it's so cold that you have to wear pajamas and then you're like, well, now I can't sleep because there's this horrible shit like attached to me. I can't stand it. Because I'm a true Southerner, unlike you. Well,
I fell asleep in my pajama pants the other day. It was so cold. But I actually traditionally turn on the air conditioning.
Yeah, buddy.
Regardless of temperature. Which has been really fun to wake up and it's 16 degrees and you're like, why is my apartment like a meat locker right now? But enough of this, Dan. Let's jump to why people are listening. Let's talk some of the hot bowl action from this past weekend. Before we get to the playoff games, anything from the other, you know, bowl games?
I thought it was...
we get to the ones that matter.
I think one of the stories of the bowl season is just how terrible the Pac-12 is. And this is... we're going to come back to this when we talk about Central Florida, but... are we sure? Like, I mean, are we sure that the Pac-12 is better than the American Conference? Like, are we positive?
Yeah, because like even I thought Washington did put up a decent fight against Penn State.
Washington is clearly the best team in the Pac-12, even though they didn't win it.
I would have liked to have seen like Washington UCF instead.
I mean, it would have been a nice well, who is actually better?
But yeah, because like the thing with UCF is like, yeah, they beat Auburn, but like Auburn clearly didn't care about.
I think Auburn cared because Central Florida fired
Auburn
him up.
I think Auburn cared, but this seemed like a lot of Auburn games I've seen all year, though, where like they would play Mercer or Samford, and like they would be in it for a half, and then Auburn would just turn it on the second half. The difference with this one is UCF is clearly much better than, you know, a Mercer or a Samford. So they couldn't really turn it on, but like, I don't know. I would have rather see UCF play a team at 8 o'clock on Saturday, you know, in prime time instead of a game at noon. After New Year's Eve in Atlanta. Like, how many of those Auburn players were probably hungover?
Who knows? Who can say?
I would say a lot. And UCF had a one-handed man, and that's got to be cheating. Because how do you block a one-handed person?
I mean, I would assume it's easier, right? because he only has one hand. No, well, you can throw him out.
You got to touch.
He's got bad balance.
I don't want to touch somebody with
one hand. I'm sure he might have leprosy. He might catch it.
Yeah, that's gross.
Yeah, yeah.
Can you catch leprosy, or is that just a dumb thing that people in the Bible thought?
I'm not sure. You think he would, though. It's on the skin. I'm not going near a leopard with that. Either.
I'm not going near a leopard.
Someone with leprosy.
Yeah, leprosy or leopards.
Yeah, just none of that.
I feel like leprosy is like one of those things that's genetic that dumbasses in old times thought they could catch because they didn't know what genes are.
Yeah. But Dan, I have a hot take. Before New Year's Day, this is one of the worst bowl seasons in recent memory.
Really?
How many games were there that were – like the Army game was fun, but I just – kind of felt like the Rose Bowl felt kind of underwhelming, I guess. Cotton Bowl did.
The Rose Bowl was awesome. What are you talking about? Rose Bowl was the best.
Not the Rose Bowl. I'm sorry. Not the Fiesta Bowl.
No.
Is what I meant. Not the Rose Bowl.
Well.
I was just kind of underwhelmed by all the games for the most part. You know, there weren't a lot of, like, classic fun. The matchups were good, I guess, like, on paper. But when you kind of thought about them, they actually were really stupid. Like, I would have rather see, like, Ohio State-Auburn instead of Ohio State-USC. I get why you do it. For ratings or contracts or whatever, but I would like to see it maybe mix it up a little bit better.
I just want the Pac-12 to get their shit together because they were an embarrassment. They got beat by everybody. I think they only won like one bowl game, and like USC's trash. And it just I'm gonna be so annoyed when that dumbass gets drafted really high because like he's not good at all. Like Sam Darnold is a shitty quarterback. On a team that's loaded with talent that just consistently underperforms.
I don't get how he is. I don't get why Lamar Jackson's not like. I kind of get why
you know why
number
he's
one
not.
Overall.
Like you know why he's not.
Yeah, I know because he scrambles.
I mean, my favorite thing is that like Josh Allen, like that, like the people go, oh, Lamar Jackson, we might have to turn him to wide receiver. He doesn't have the mind to play quarterback. Josh Allen can't do like basic math.
He did look good, though.
He did it.
I will say in his bowl game. I thought Josh Allen looked pretty good in this bowl game.
It's the best game he's had all year. Josh Allen
has
thrown for more than 100 yards against a single team with a pulse.
Smartest quarterback in the whole bowl season to me, though, Rosen. Didn't play. Hurts your draft stock. That's good.
Rosen is legit. Like, I like Lamar Jackson. Josh Rosen's the best quarterback in this draft.
I don't know if I'd touch a quarterback.
But Josh Rosen, I feel...
Like if you're
Josh Rosen is as much of a no doubter as I've thought has come out of college in a long time.
Like you know, if I'm Cleveland, I don't know if I draft a quarterback at all.
I would draft Josh Rosen.
I wouldn't draft one in the first round.
I would draft Josh Rosen.
Build that defense.
Yeah, that's been the dumb thing Cleveland's done, and they've passed on good quarterbacks. It's like, we need to fix everything else, and it's like, actually, you need a quarterback.
No, the only quarterback I see that I don't think. Even if you put Watson in Cleveland last year, he wouldn't have been as electric as he was with Houston.
I mean, he might have been.
You wouldn't see Mahomes look as good in Cleveland as he looked for Kansas City on Sunday. I'm just not sure if I want to expose a quarterback to that right now. And, like, see what you got with Kaiser. He didn't look that.
DeShone Kaiser was a shitty college quarterback, though. Like, I hate this thing where guys who suck in college get drafted in the NFL and people in the NFL are like, I can fix him. No, you can't. He's bad.
I watched a decent amount of Kaiser this year, though. And Kaiser's biggest problems are just he throws picks.
His biggest problem is he doesn't know what he's doing.
Yeah, but his issues feel fixable, but maybe not with Hugh Jackson coaching. And that's probably the issue there. I don't touch any of these quarterbacks from Cleveland. Just take some defensive guys, trade down, get more assets. Art, you know what? See if you can draft one of those NBA guys. I like the NBA draft a lot more than this year's NFL draft. Like, I look at the, you know, if you switch over to the NBA really quick for just 1 second, Dan, if we can. Something I kind of thought about on Christmas Day as I was watching the games. The future of this league is bright, baby. Like, it's almost like the opposite of the NFL, where we've seen teams shift their philosophies and think differently about how to play offense and what you can do, you know, within the confines of, you know, basketball. And how, like, you don't have to be beholden to certain positions. Like, a point guard can play two guards sometimes, or... You can have a guy who's a power forward bring up the ball. The future of basketball to me looks great. This game's going to get even more fun over the next 10 years. And I think like stuff like Golden State or LeBron being in the finals every year, I think that's going to be a thing of the past after this generation too. I think there's going to be so much more talent in the NBA over the next 5 years. It's going to almost be like the NFL. Like we're going to see new champions every year. I'm just to divvy on it a thought, something I did want to talk about, I forgot to bring it up earlier, but I want to kind of see what you think about that with the, like, I don't know how much you caught on Christmas, but, like, you could see it with Embiid, Porzingis, just a different era to me in NBA basketball.
I think what's happening with the NBA is they're starting to be, instead of just, like, two or three teams at the top, all of the great players have figured out, well, like, there's no use in us being all alone. Like, you know, because we'll never be able to beat anybody. Look at Russell Westbrook last year. He had the greatest season in NBA history, and his team didn't win shit. So, like, everybody has realized that they need to pool together, and that's just, like, as that happens, instead of having, like, two teams that are great, you're going to end up with, like you're saying, like, five or six.
But you're also seeing, like, the way teams are building teams, where they're building that kind of with in mind, instead of just, let's get a bunch of role pieces and get our one superstar player and make it work. I mean, you look at Milwaukee's done. Tons of young talent around that team. It might just be one player away from maybe being a contender in the Eastern Conference, to at least make the finals, not to win it. You look what Boston's done, the way they've drafted and transformed that team. I think you're even seeing that philosophy kind of switch over now to how you team build. I mean, even look at Philadelphia, what they've done. It's been amazing. So I'm just really excited for the future of this league. Like, to me, it feels just like the anti-NFL right now. It doesn't feel like the old dinosaur. It feels like it's evolving, changing, into something even better.
There just seems to be a sense that the coaches in the NBA realize that, oh, we've always got to be looking for that new thing, instead of always being, like, 10 years behind where all their talent is.
No, and, like, you have a lot more younger, I mean – and I hate to go like SJW or something, but you have like a way more diverse staff in your front office in the NBA most of the time. Not just like black or brown or whatever, but you've got guys from different countries who have seen different things, who think differently, that bring in, or guys from completely different fields that come in, especially with analytics. You can just see what the NBA is doing, and it's just like some Silicon Valley higher level kind of shit, but it actually produces and makes money.
Yeah. Just like imagine if a sabermetrics person. Like, the NFL is the only league now where a sabermetrics guy has never gotten in charge of a football team.
Well, Cleveland.
Yeah, it's going well.
Well, we'll see.
I mean, I mean, hire somebody who, like, used to work for football outs. Like, hire Vince Verhey. Like, instead of hiring a baseball dude and asking him to run a football team.
Yeah, well, I mean, but you're right. You don't see, like, the Steelers or the Patriots or even organizations that are super successful kind of add this stuff like we saw, like, Golden State or other teams do. Or San Antonio did.
Yeah.
It kind of changed the way they're thinking.
Or, you know, famously Boston and Chicago and Tampa and baseball.
Yeah. But I think the other big difference in the NBA, too, is the players just seem to, at my age, just because they have so much more money, I don't know, they seem, like, more focused on their craft, if that makes sense, and, like, and how to learn and how to become a better basketball player with all the resources out there. Like, you hear about more NBA players watching film now, or, like, you know, bringing a tablet or whatever to hook up to the TV and watch game film instead of going out. Like, that's something that happens a lot more now that didn't back in the day with the NBA. Maybe that's stupid, but it's probably better for the health of the league. It's kind of like a WWE that way.
WWE says that's a work. Oh, these guys just go in their hotel rooms and play video games. They don't party like the old guys. And then every, like, few years, it'll leak out that there's just, like, orgies and, like, massive coke parties and, you know. I don't know. I don't buy it with wrestlers. And I don't know if I buy it with NBA players either. Like, I don't buy it with anybody. I think it's good business to tell people that we're very serious now.
At least with WWE, I don't think it's like how it used to be. Like, there's not guys, like, you know, raping flight attendants just in front of everybody. It has calmed.
Like, Dolph Ziggler does hang out with Max Landis.
But that's not in front of everybody. Big difference. But, you know, I mean, that is also, Danny, WWE is run by the most evil man in the world. Unlike my favorite organization, Ring of Honor, not owned by anyone who does anything.
A very upstanding company with a long tradition of doing the right thing.
Who's definitely less of a threat to our democracy and freedom than Vince McMahon. This is something else that we're just going to – this is kind of our midway news break where I got bored of talking about college for a second, Dan. I want to say, too, I'm so sick of football. I am, like – I was rooting against the Falcons this Sunday. I was like, I can just be done with football. It'll be over. I can just do whatever I want on Saturday. I don't have to put my heart into it. Don't have to ruin my day. They fucking had to win. I'm just, like, so ready to dive into basketball hard, Dan, over here right now. But there is something we did forget to talk about last, or we didn't talk about last week or the week before. XFL looks like it's maybe coming back, but this time as a right wing football league. How down are you for this?
I don't know what a right. I don't know how a football league can be more right wing than the NFL. See, to me, this feels like when Fox News was very successful doing like right wing news, right? But then they tried to do a right wing business news channel. And it's like nobody bothered to tell them that CNBC is pretty fucking right-wing. CNBC, like, nobody watches CNBC and goes, man, these fucking liberal bleeding hearts.
Well, it's also, too, like, when, like, what are those other shitty, like, news channels that are out there that are, like, more right-wing than Fox?
The Blaze!
Not the Blaze. Like, what's the one? It's the one, like, everyone's AT&T U-verse now. I forget what it is. But it's, like, it looks like young college Republicans doing like Fox News.
So
I want to say like Air America, but that's not right. That was a
liberal. Yeah, Air America was the supposed liberal. It is Fox
something
News.
Stupid like that. Like their intro video has like an eagle and Ronald Reagan and you know all that fun
stuff. And definitely nobody ever having sex.
Yeah. All right, that's it for the
that's it for the Power Hour news can break.
Yes. I want to talk about that for a second, though. We will break it up and jump to the playoffs in just a second, but we need to stretch some time here, Dan. Are you feeling football fatigue, or is this just me?
I wasn't as clued into the bowl games as I normally am. There is something to that. I do agree with you that maybe the bowl matchups this year were not what we've been accustomed to as far as, like, the number of great games. Like because
there weren't that many great teams this year. Either.
The Bahamas.
That's probably the bigger story.
The Bahamas Bowl was a big letdown. Like usually the Bahamas Bowl is like nonstop pinwheeling action, and instead it was just Ohio like bludgeoning UAB to death.
Yeah. The Cactus Bowl was all.
Yeah. Like the Birmingham Bowl was pretty close. That was pretty good, but it's
the Belk Bowl though.
The Armed Forces Bowl was probably the best bowl of the bunch. Just Army and San Diego State playing each other and the game being over in like 2 hours.
I enjoyed the Belk Bowl probably the most because it was the dumbest bowl. And thus
how dare you? How dare you besmirch the comfortable pants of Belk?
The good people at Belk.
New Mexico State won a bowl game, though. That was great. They're 7-6.
Oh, they did, and they rushed the field. Yeah, that was awesome.
Yeah. Their first bowl game since like 1948, and they won it.
Yeah. All right, let's, anything else before the playoff games where we kind of jump into our long form here?
I just gotta say, LSU, get ready for a full off season of everything that Georgia fans heard about Kirby Smart last year. It was like, oh God, we hired the wrong guy. This is a disaster. Now, I say that because, hey, it turned out okay for Georgia. Year two worked out pretty fine for Georgia, and maybe it will for LSU, but for some reason, I don't think people are necessarily super believing that Ed Orgeron is gonna turn it around in year two. Also, they've already parted ways with Matt Canada, which means now LSU is dead to me.
So where do you think Canada ends up?
Well, he'll definitely get a job. I mean, depending on who ends up at Arizona, he could be there because they're having to make a really late coaching transition. I think he would be good with Tate. I mean, if they keep Tate, I mean, he's a guy who's been able to use running quarterbacks.
Yeah.
I mean, he's kind of having to look for a job at a bad part of the year to be looking.
Yeah.
Temple, that'd be a great place for him.
There you go. Let's jump to the Rose Bowl. Let's talk about that. Dan, we're both really wrong about this one, I think. I think you're going to try to make the excuse you weren't. I'm going to man up and own it. I was wrong.
Well,
I thought Oklahoma would kill Georgia.
I'm saving my mea culpa for the next game. But this one, I think it was pretty much, look, Oklahoma, we said it going into the game. Oklahoma has the best offense in the country. It might have the best offense in the history of college football. And it may have the worst offense of any team that's ever finished in the top five in a college football season. Like, their defense was pathetic. I don't know a stronger way to put it. Like, their defense was horrifying. There's that screenshot Bill Barnwell made during the game where he showed that you could,
Like,
he was able to Photoshop like 12 different dudes in the hole that Oklahoma left.
It's 12 different Sonny Michels.
Like, if you, like, when you leave a hole that gaping, like, well, like, there's nothing to be done.
No, I want to play too, Dan. I want to play too, where you saw Fromm do the audible. It's pretty even pointed towards the area, and your defense said you didn't have a linebacker even move over or shift the line over or anything. That tells me that is not a well-coached defense at all. They didn't even make an effort to adjust to the adjustment.
Like, they have nobody who knows what, like, that nobody knows their
playbook.
That's
not something, and that's not something Georgia's going to be able to do against Alabama. Or, you know, if they would have played Clemson, they wouldn't be able to do it.
No.
I mean, they're going to run into a much better coach defense, I think, with much smarter linebackers.
I mean,
and, you know.
Literally, they won't play a team that bad defensively. Like, Oklahoma has very, very good players. But coaching-wise, Mike Stoops should not ever be allowed to coach college football again after that. That was an embarrassment. Like, that was a complete disgrace. And their defense was so putrid, it screwed up their offense. Because their offense was gouging Georgia by going with tempo, which, I mean, people who don't watch a ton of Oklahoma, like, think they're a tempo team. They're really not. Like, they don't play at a crazy fast tempo. But when they were having success against Georgia, they were playing at a faster tempo. But when the second half came around, they had
You could tell that was a smart move. You could tell Riley and the gang probably watched that Auburn tape because Auburn had a lot more success. First time against Georgia, going in to hurry up and catching them off guard.
But their defense was getting destroyed so thoroughly that they tried to slow things down in the second half to try to protect their defense, to try to protect their lead. And it screwed up their rhythm, it screwed up their offense, and, you know, they didn't really get it back until late in the game. And by then, you know, everything had fallen, like the sky had started caving in. I just wonder if Lincoln Riley is really the right guy to be a head coach in a program this big. Because they made a lot of, like, just dumb coaching decisions.
Well, like, the squib kick in the half.
I mean, that was the difference.
Seemed like the dumbest. Yeah, and it was the difference, you know.
I mean, if they don't get that bullcrap 3 points at the end of the first half to make it a 14-point game, like, they would not have had it. Like, it would not have been a tie game.
Yeah. I mean, a totally different scenario there at the end. So, congrats. I mean, once again, that was probably one of the best bowl games I've ever seen. I think a lot of people said, once again, the Rose Bowl, it seems like year in, year out, puts on the best bowl game of the year. And I thought that was definitely one of them. I'd say it's a five stars in Japan.
Speaking of, we are recording this tonight at the Tokyo Dome. Yeah. New Japan, more like old Japan.
And I just had a traditional Japanese meal to get ready, Dave.
A hamburger.
I had sesame seed chicken.
Off of a naked lady.
Off of a naked...
Because...
In a Nazi uniform.
Because it's Japan!
And they're wild. Rape's okay.
Yeah, sure.
But let's jump now. Any last thoughts on that game? Like, I'll say this. Really impressed how Georgia played, especially running the ball. Really impressed what they did on defense. We saw this defense get better somehow in the last three games, it kind of seemed, for Georgia. And I don't know if I want to play from Alabama on offense. I can tell you that much. Oh, those linebackers are moving around. It ain't going to be fun.
I think the biggest thing is that Georgia, for a team that's got a freshman quarterback and a team as a whole that has not played a major game that mattered since Aaron Murray's senior season, for them to be in this spot in that game in a semifinal and to be down, you know, two touchdowns at the half and keep their composure and actually got calmer in the second half because they were like, oh, yeah, let's just run the ball all the time. It's working.
Yeah, let's just keep running because you saw I think they passed more in the first half than they ran. Everyone thought it was stupid, but maybe that was just so you don't wear off your running backs.
Yeah, I mean,
might have been the key there.
It just to see them have that kind of calm for a team that hasn't got the reps in these kind of spots.
Yeah. And you know what, Dan, too? When Sonny Michel fumbles, Oklahoma returns it for a touchdown. Everyone probably thought the game was over. Georgia comes right back and scores a touchdown.
Yeah.
Like it didn't matter. That was
It was thing. Very Ooh, Bama-like. I got to say that. It was very, very Bama-like, where it's just like, oh, man, even when, like, they have the things that happen in a game that usually, like, well, that's it for most teams. It's like, well, that's it. You're not going to come back from that. They're just like, oh, no, we'll come back from that.
You know what else I think helped, too? In that game, I mean, I think they said it was like almost 70-30, you know, in favor of being Georgia fans there. Almost like a weird home game. And that's kind of how their last, you know, if you want to count the SEC championship as a playoff game, it was almost like a home game there, too. They'll probably get it Monday in Atlanta. So that's kind of an interesting factor to look at, especially with such, you know, like you said, with the, you know, with the freshman quarterback without a lot of experience. Maybe it's a little bit easier not to, you know, lose it when you're not, when you can hear. You know, you can make your checks without, you know, without a lot of confusion.
Sure. There's an element of that.
Yeah, I think that's a factor for sure. You know, and I'll probably look great. I mean, they're kind of giving Fromm like a little more freedom, especially to check at the line and stuff, and it's been paying off. Fromm looks like a great quarterback.
Yeah,
I mean, not like a pro, not a guy I think it's going to be like a pro or anything, but like a David Green style, like a guy who's going to get you to some SEC title games, for sure.
Well, who is the guy that Alabama won their first title with under Saban? The redhead who's on ESPN. Greg McElroy was the most infuriating quarterback to watch in college because you knew he wasn't really all that good because he couldn't really throw the ball that well, but he just never fucked up, ever.
Yeah.
And like Greg McElroy was especially infuriating because you'd look at him, you go, well, that guy's not that fast. And then he'd like on 3rd and 8 in the fourth quarter, bust like a 20-yard scramble where everybody was in man coverage with their back turned and he just would take off. And you just sit there going, God damn it. And that's Fromm.
Yeah.
Also, where's Eason going? Where's he transferring to? Because that guy's never starting another game for Georgia.
Hopefully Miami, because my sources tell me that Eason loves cocaine. Dan.
Oh, that's the worst place for him, man.
Yeah, it would be. It'd be the best for me. I thought Miami with Rick made sense, but I hear he might transfer back to Washington. Who knows? Easton's probably done.
Do you think he ever recovers?
Play for the rehab.
Like, do you think he ever recovers from, like, being a starting quarterback that everybody talked about his freshman year to his sophomore year getting benched,
Has anyone ever really recovered from that?
The one I always...
Like you think of, like, maybe the most famous one is Mitch Mustang, and he didn't really at all.
Yeah, Mitch Mustang's a good one. The one I always think of is Terry Dean at Florida in the 90s. He was Spurrier's second quarterback at Florida, and he was by far the biggest recruit that Steve Spurrier had ever had as a quarterback because, you know, Spurrier kind of famously, like, had shitty guys he found off the scrap heap at Duke, and then his first quarterback at Florida was Shane Matthews, who was his first season's off season is like a 9th-string walk-on. And then by the end of spring, Spurrier had made him his starting quarterback. It's like Terry Dean was supposed to be, all right, look at what Spurrier did with Shane Matthews. What's he going to do with a blue chip? And then Terry Dean completely melted down, could not handle Spurrier's coaching, and got replaced with Danny Warfel, and that was the end of that.
Yeah. It'll be interesting.
I think he ended up not even playing football again. Like he ended up becoming like a car dealer or something.
What about your boy Russell Wilson, Dan?
Well, he wasn't benched. He was told he was going to have to compete for the job, and so he transferred.
Oh, okay. I heard he ran him out of town for dating a white woman. That's what I was told.
If he was run out of town for his sexual picadillos, it would not have been for dating a woman.
Ooh. A little slander.
I'm just going to let that lay there.
Ooh. Well, nothing wrong with that, man. But I'm not the bigot maybe you are. And I accept people. And I think it's a shame Russell Wilson can't be open about his sexuality.
I mean, don't blame me. Blame his church.
Yeah. And you know what? There's nothing wrong with fucking kids. Like Russell Wilson did. That's what you're implying. Right?
That's
a girl, not a woman.
No.
Oh. Let's jump now to the Sugar Bowl. Was it the Sugar Bowl? Is that what that was? I don't remember.
The Cotton Bowl. No, the Cotton Bowl was the Rose Bowl in abstentia.
Yes. We're talking Clemson, Alabama. We were pretty. I think we were right about this.
No, I was so wrong about this game. I've never been wronger about anything. The two games I was the most wrong about. I'm going to do my mea culpa. The two games I was the wrongest I've ever been about anything this year. Were Navy Virginia, where I predicted Virginia would stop the option cold because Bronco Mendenhall knows the option. In case you don't know, the final score of that game was 49-7 Navy, and Alabama Clemson, because I said Clemson's just gonna beat the shit out of them. Clemson's gonna open up a can of whoop ass on them. That did not happen.
No. I mean, Alabama played like an Alabama team. You know, I thought they didn't. They didn't have to rely on their weaknesses. They played to their strengths. They got turnovers, and they did what they had to do. And Clemson, I'm not excited to look. They're in trouble, but they're gonna have to. They might have to find them a stud there. Quarterback, wide receiver, running back. They need a go-to guy. It seems like they don't have that right now.
I think, before we get into Clemson, Alabama won this game in the most Nick Saban way possible, where his offense did nothing. It didn't hurt him either, though. It did nothing. It didn't help. It didn't hurt. And it just didn't fuck it up for him. His defense and his special teams won it. And that's all he wants out of life.
But he didn't need him. Yeah. And that's fine. Because also, you don't show a lot on film.
I mean, their offense was basically, let's get one first down and then punt.
Yeah. Let's let the defense rest because they just scored a touchdown. Another pick six.
Because Alabama's got all the problems offensively that we mentioned going into the game, which is that their offense is basically get to a third down and six and then hope Hurts scrambles for a first down.
Yeah.
Which is not a great offense, but, I mean, Jalen Hurts doesn't turn it over on those third and sixes. You know, he either gets them the first down they needed or he gets them 2 or 3 yards and then they punt. And then that's...
And their defense.
You know, and then their defense takes over.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This was unexpected for me because I was all in on the Clemson bandwagon. I had Clemson as my next Alabama. You know? Now I'm not... I don't know if I'm as sold.
I think part of it is that the ACC ended up being way down this year. Like, last year, they were undeniably the best conference in college football. But it looks more like a one-year wonder where they were great last year, and then this year just was nowhere near
looks
as
like,
good.
Yep, because, looks like, Dan, it's back. It's back to there being only really one good conference.
The Big Ten.
In college football, Dan. That's the SEC.
Yeah, SEC is trash.
SEC. Well, I mean, the Big Ten beat the Pac. You're right, Dan. They went undefeated against the Pac-12, and they won some exhibition games. The SEC, one of the only bowl games that mattered. So what's the better conference? I don't know.
The Big Ten. The Big Ten is a much better conference. The SEC has...
Where's the Big Ten team in the championship?
Well, they probably should have been in there instead of Alabama.
Well, they weren't.
Well, I mean, that's the committee.
And the one Big Ten team...
Congrats! Committees made a better choice, I guess.
And then when they went head-to-head in the bowl game, who won?
Oh, we got to talk about that.
Yeah, but who won that game?
We got to talk about the fact that...
Who collapsed under the pressure of playing a big-time SEC program?
And apparently there's a lot of coach changes going on today. Michigan's offensive line coach and offensive coordinator apparently out, although the word is that...
Ooh.
The word is that Pep Hamilton, their offensive coordinator, looks like he's going to be getting the Detroit Lions job.
Ooh.
And Tim Drevno, their offensive line coach and co-offensive coordinator, is going with him. And it looks like they're going to be replaced with Greg Roman and Dan Enos, who was last the offensive coordinator, or was last the guy at Arkansas. He's going to be now taking over as their new line coach. And
was the offensive coordinator? Was he with Harbaugh in San Francisco?
Dan Enos was not. Greg Roman was.
No. The guy who went to the Lions.
Drevno and Pep Hamilton.
Yeah,
Pep Hamilton was with him at Stanford, and Drevno was his offensive line coach at Stanford and San Francisco.
So I'm intrigued by that hire by the Lions. That's intriguing.
Pep Hamilton, by the time his time in Indianapolis was done, everybody was sick of him there. But, I mean, it looked like it got a lot worse with Andrew Luck when they got rid of him.
Yeah.
So.
And that's another head. Let's talk about that before we kind of preview the championship game. I want to talk about that real quick. Do you see any – now seeing where, like, a lot more NFL jobs are going to open up here, Dan, do you think anyone's leaving from the world of college to step up? I mean, we're seeing, like, the Indianapolis job is open. Arizona's open now. Do you think we're going to see any shuffling?
Well, I mean, the guy I always picked to go to the NFL from college just took, like, $75 million to go to Texas A&M. So Jimbo would have been my guy if the Texas A&M job hadn't thrown $100 billion at him, I would have said, man, Jimbo will take a shitty NFL job just to get out of Florida State this year. Brian
Kelly. Because there's a prime job. I mean, you look at the Indianapolis job. If you're a college coach, that's probably the easiest winning job.
I will not be surprised if Brian Kelly finally gets his NFL job that he's been trying to get for years now. Notre Dame had a good season. They won a major bowl game. So it's not like last year where he wanted an NFL job, but they were 4-8. He's wanted an NFL job for a really, really long time.
And that offense wouldn't look bad with Andrew Luck leading.
Yeah, he's right there. He's already in the state of Indiana. Like, he's right there for Indianapolis to go get. I mean, it makes some sense, doesn't it?
It does. You know what? Another place I'd look at, Arizona, which It's actually a football franchise that's built like a really good culture there. Like it seems like a little more like even like a college, the way like they're a little more communal there with the players and everything. That might be one that would catch a college coach's eye. Maybe the transition wouldn't be as heavy, you know, maybe to jump over there to Arizona. Even though there's no quarterback, but that's the beauty. You can draft a quarterback this year and see what you got. So
The other like constant go-to as far as the history of college coaches going to the NFL is like, what Pac-12 coach has done pretty good? Because usually Pac-12 coaches always end up in the NFL because they're like, yeah, like no, like the school I work for doesn't really care about football all that much. This is just a great springboard to go to the NFL. Like David Shaw, when is an NFL team going to come get David Shaw?
Let's see, it might be something to look out for because it looks like also, Dan, our boy, John Gruden, heading to the Raiders.
As a part owner.
How sad are you to have the end of John Gruden going to Tennessee?
Especially, this will be the end of, like, because for people who are too young to remember, this is what it was like when John Gruden had an NFL job. Like, it's not like this was just something new once he became a broadcaster. When he was a head coach, I mean, that's the reason why Al Davis got rid of him as the Raiders coach, is because every year with the Raiders, it was like, oh, John Gruden might be interested in this job. John Gruden might be interested in that job. And it just made Al Davis infuriated that somebody would care about a job more than the Raiders. You know, so it like, this has always been John Gruden. And when he was at Tampa, like, every year he would, like, flirt with the Notre Dame job, or he'd flirt with that job or this job. So this has just always been John Gruden. But if he goes to the Raiders and takes an ownership stake, well, that's the end of groomers. Because, like, well, he's not going to leave a place that he's a owner. Like, he's a 5% owner.
Which opens up the door, Dan, for my $1 DVD knockoff version of John Gruden. Talking Jeff Fisher. I think Jeff Fisher's involved with every coaching rumor ever.
That is really unfair. We are not the biggest John Gruden fans in the world. That is extremely unfair to John Gruden to compare him to Jeff Fisher.
Well, that's why I said the dollar. That's why he's the dollar knockoff DVD version, because he's – I mean, he went to a Super Bowl. John Gruden won a Super Bowl, so it's similar that way. But, Dan, how – I'm praying right now, praying to my mini gods, Jeff Fisher would get hired to be the head coach at Arizona. How perfect would that be? Herm Edwards versus Jeff Fisher. In the Pac-12 South.
Just like both, like, and that's the thing about, if you follow Pac-12 football pretty closely, like, one of the ongoing storylines for like 30 years is that Arizona State should be much better than they are, like, as a program.
Yeah.
Arizona State's like one of those programs that fits into that, like, sleeping giant category of programs where you're just like.
Yeah, because, like, when you think about the attractive parts of Arizona, there's a lot of good talent coming out of California. It's an easier, I'm not being mean, it's just an easier school to get into. It's a party school, so it's fun, even though it's in the middle.
You're also
of nowhere.
Not that far from Texas, so you can recruit both California and Texas.
Yeah, it seems like a great place to get JUCO.
It is the second easiest school to get into in the Pac-12. The only school easier is Utah, which is
Stanford.
Which is not as fun to live in. You know, who would pick Salt Lake City over Arizona?
No, and, like, honestly, I'd rather go to school at Arizona State than, like, fucking Cal if I'm a football player. Where do you want to be, like, where you misgender somebody and, like, you get kicked out of campus?
Trump's
granddaughter.
Here's the thing nobody ever talks about with Cal. Every professor hates you. Every single professor hates the athletes.
You're constantly in danger, like I said, of, you know, doing something that offends somebody. Like I said, you go to Arizona State, it's all kids from conservative families. It's a bunch of hot blondes.
A literal porn star went there.
Yeah, literally the future crop of porn stars are from there. Or you can go to Cal where, like, some dumpy lesbian's going to yell at you for looking at her shoes. Where would I want to go as an athlete?
I mean, what are you supposed to do when you're at a shoegazing concert? Isn't that a genre, shoegazing? Isn't that a music genre?
That sounds like a fetish.
I'm pretty sure shoegazing is a genre.
But there's going to stay, though, like I said, pro foot fetish stuff there, too. So, like, you're right, Dan. It is a program that, like, if you could get, like, a cool coach there who, like, wasn't Herm Edwards and isn't doing, like, total quality management.
He's doing parts delivered quickly. He's doing the old Advance Auto Parts slogan.
It's like, what's that stupid business shit? Like, Black Belt Samba 6.
Sigma 6.
Samba Simba.
Tony Atlas is going to show up in an outfit that can be best described.
Speaking of feet, there you go, and that helps Arizona State's pro foot fetish pitch.
Okay, shoegaze is a subgenre of indie rock, alternative rock, and neo-psychedelia that emerged in the United Kingdom in 1980s. It is typified by the blurring of component music parts, typically significant guitar distortion, feedback, and obscure vocals into indistinguishable mixtures of sound.
Sounds very English.
So basically, it just sounds like somebody just recorded, it basically just sounds like the Metal Machine music album.
What if your music was really shitty?
I don't know.
It's a little Black Mirror. Little Black Mirror. I don't know if anyone's done that joke yet. So, I'll do that really quick.
Black Mirror is actually really good, and everyone makes fun of it.
I haven't watched an episode of Black Mirror, and I'm almost at the point now, Dan, I will say. I refuse to watch most Netflix shows at this point. Because everyone's like, oh, you got to watch it. It's really good. I'm like, you know what? No. I'm almost 30. I did Game of Thrones. I'm good after that, man. Just let me watch Seinfeld and Simpsons and like shit from 10 years ago.
Charlie Brooker has never made a bad thing.
I don't want to know who any of these people are.
Charlie Brooker
anymore.
Is the brains behind Black Mirror. And he used to do a show called Screen Wipe, which would basically be him shitting on everything on TV that week. And it was great.
I just can't do it, Dave. My brain's full. So I'm done. I'm turned into an old man. I just want to watch sports and like reruns of Seinfeld and Andy Griffith.
We've talked about this. All I watch now is like reruns of Unsolved Mysteries on Amazon.
Mm-hmm.
The day that comes off Amazon Prime is the day I cancel Prime. So this is me threatening you, Bezos. Not only do you have to deal with the president.
They did do episodes for you, right?
I don't count the Dennis Farina episodes as Unsolved Mysteries canon.
Is he dead too?
Yeah, he's dead too because there's a reason. RP. He tried to meddle in things he didn't belong
in. It's the Law and Order curse. Lenny Briscoe's dead. I don't know his real name.
Jerry Orbach. He's a
Jerry Orbach.
Who was a song
dead.
And dance man.
So is Jesse Martin, or the black guy. Is that
Jesse Martin? Jesse L. Martin. Who was in Rent?
He was in Rent. Law and Order always had
Was he in the original Rent or was he just in the movie?
I think he's in the movie, but I'm not sure.
Because I feel like he would not have been the right age to be in Rent.
That, you know, I think that was always the best Law and Order people. When they got people, like, from the stage, because that show kind of was a play. It was kind of more written, you know what I'm saying, Dan? Like, more written as a play than anything else, if that's fair.
Yes.
That's when the show was better, when it was more like, I could see this on a theater and it would work fine.
I'm so angry that Law and Order Prime died and that SVU is still on TV. Because OG Law and Order was so much better than SVU.
Because you had so much more shit you could do.
Yeah.
SVU, like, everything has to be, like, child rape. And eventually, if you're like me, you start hating the characters because they're all mean to everyone who might be a pedophile. I don't know if they're a pedophile yet.
And I could not...
And then, I end up rooting for the pedophile for 30 minutes.
Imagine the kind of horrible life you must lead where your favorite show is literally nothing but sex crimes.
Every single woman's favorite show is Law and Order SVU, and they just watch TV shows where like men rape women all day.
Like that's all it
and
is.
Like,
they're
scared of the world. Yeah,
and like the original.
There's never
Law
a woman,
Order...
never a woman raping a man, is there?
Yeah, they've definitely done a rip from the
actually,
headlines.
Definitely.
Teacher raping a kid.
No, you got to do teacher rape. No, there was a really cool one. It might have been a Law and Order OG. Where the teacher took the kid she had raped, who was like 16 or some shit, to like Rhode Island where you can get, or Pennsylvania where you can get married at 16, and married him so the kid wouldn't have to testify against her in court.
God, the last second like twists were what made Law and Order.
Yeah. Or like when someone died and it's like, you know, like what's the fucker's name? The guy from the newsroom. The DA. Jack McCoy. No, that's the newsroom too.
The
eyebrow man
from the DA Jack McCoy, isn't it?
The commercials. Maybe it is Jack McCoy.
Jack McCoy has got to be it.
It's Will McCoy in the newsroom.
It's Will McAvoy. You've got everything
McAvoy.
Wrong.
McAvoy. Well, DA Colt McCoy gets a phone call. Jim's dead, and then like dun dun cuts out if you remember, like, the Community episode where they parodied Law & Order, that was one of the best parodies of anything ever done. It was... I don't even like Community that much anymore. It's still one of the funniest things I've ever seen. I've probably seen that episode, like, 30 times.
Was that on NBC or was that on the Hulu or the Yahoo episodes?
No, it was NBC years. It was, like, the...
Oh, was that the
year Dan Harmon left?
Okay, I don't count that either.
Yeah, it was before the Gas Leak season, so it was like one of their last few good episodes.
Hmm.
Really recommend that one if you can find it. Came out when I was in college.
So. You're still in college? So,
47 years ago. Well, when I was... Okay, it came out when I wasn't about to be 30.
Yeah, you can really tell that you're getting closer to the grave mentally.
Yeah, I've been there a while, Dan. That's why we go off on tangents now about Law and Order for our college football podcast. You want to jump in and preview this championship game?
Do we have to? Because this is going to be brutal. Like, is there any way Alabama doesn't win this?
SEC. SEC.
Is there any way Alabama doesn't win this game?
I think so. I mean, I think it's the same thing we talked about with Auburn and Alabama. I think Alabama's not that good. If Georgia's running backs can hit holes and, like, Fromm cannot make mistakes, you're probably going to have Fromm win you the game. I think Fromm can win you a game at this point where they're at, especially if you go to, like, some more screens and stuff. You can take advantage of Alabama's, like, kind of weak DBs. Georgia does have some good wide receivers there because they tend to recruit well, obviously. I think Georgia can win this game because you have the crowd behind you. You got the president watching. Don't get bigger than that, Dan.
Yeah, I'm sure like a bunch of dudes in college right now are really going to be excited to win one for the Trumpster.
I'm sure Sonny Michel, whose parents are from Haiti, and he was an immigrant, would love to play in front of...
Especially a Haiti from immigrant, because our president has said so many nice things about people from Haiti.
Yeah, he's very pro-Haitian. Dan, I mean, you know how I feel about both these teams, their fan bases, you know how I feel about the president.
Okay, this is what's more important to me. Which team do you hate more, and which team do you want to see humiliated more?
If I lived in Alabama, I'd want to see Alabama lose, but I live in Georgia. And I can't have my family and my friends barking at me and doing this shit. I want to see them heartbroken, Dan. Heartbroken.
So the best
I want possible... to see people. I want to see people empty their savings to go to this game, and I want Georgia to lose it on, like, a bullshit referee's call, and, like, their lives are just ruined.
Okay, here's the question. What would be a more fun outcome for you? A close game that Georgia loses in heartbreaking fashion, or Alabama just boat races them? And it's never
Alabama
even close.
Alabama beating the shit out of them, Dan, because then I can stop watching football. And I can be done. Because that's also where I am now. So whatever means I could, like, I was really hoping Oklahoma would just go ahead and blow them out so I could just quit watching football for the day, or at least for like 2 hours on New Year's. So really whatever gets me done the quickest. That's what I'm here for.
So, like,
a quick bullet to
like, Alabama versus Georgia becomes the Alabama Notre Dame national championship game,
yes,
where it's just over by the first quarter.
That'd be wonderful, because then, also, as an Auburn fan, well, we beat Alabama, so we're the real national. So, really, us and UCF are the co national champions.
So, do you think UCF should really be national champions? Like, are they the national?
Can I go into this now, Dan? My whole. I think we've talked about it before. I don't even like I think the concept of a national champion in college football is the stupidest fucking baby boomer, like, bullshit logic thing that's ever happened. Like, just wasting time and money to, like, settle an argument between, like, a bunch of 50-year-old balding guys in a newsroom. It's stupid. They should just... Who cares who the national champion? It doesn't matter because you don't want to play the equal talent. College football is so regional and divided. Why are we wasting our time with this shit? Why don't we just say, like... Why don't we just argue? The SEC champion is better than the Big Ten, and we'll find out in Fiesta Bowl. And that'll just... We don't need a national champion. It's stupid. It's a waste of time. And I like that UCF is making a mockery of this whole system. Because it's stupid, Dan. It's stupid. College football used to be this beautiful thing. Almost artistic in the way it was. But we didn't have to decide the national champion necessarily. It was just whatever. It didn't matter, man. It's college. We can't do that. We got to make everything uniform and tight because we're baby boomers. We're Gen Xers. We can't just be free, you know? Fuck this. I could have been better worded, but I just fuck the national champion. It's just so stupid. And I blame old people for us having to sit through another fucking week of talking about one college football game. This shit should be over, and we should just argue about who the better team was, like, for the rest of the year. It should have been, like, Ohio State and Georgia in the Rose Bowl or some shit. Then, like, Alabama and Clemson are going to play in the Orange Bowl. There. And we'll be done. we could just argue, and it'd be way more fun. But instead, we got to put an official stamp on it and make it official so Jimmy can, I guess, not get yelled at by strangers or something.
Who's Jimmy? So, why is Jimmy getting yelled at?
Fuck Jimmy. Because he's an old sports writer. I guess so. It feels like something, like, I feel like we had the stupid national championship to make, like, the Michael Wilbons of the world happy. And it's just ridiculous.
Okay, here's my question. Would you have the same reaction if Auburn had beaten Georgia and was in the playoff? God, what if Auburn was getting ready to play Alabama in a rematch in the national championship game?
I honestly, I've always felt this, Dan. But I wouldn't be as vocal about it, obviously. I'd be very excited. And I'd be talking about how cool it is that Auburn's the best team in the world. But that's not what happened.
Oh, what a shame that it isn't what happened.
Yeah. But, Dan, I mean, this is a thought I think I brought up to you before, though. Was just, I don't, thinking in the start of the year, I miss college football where, like, you didn't know who the real champion was.
When you didn't even know what teams played in the other leagues, because, like, I don't know that.
Yeah, because who cares? Like, why should I care about anything that goes on the Big Ten?
I don't know anybody in that league. Do they play football there?
I don't know. I mean, I know some, yeah. I don't care. It's just stupid. Why can't football just be regioned off and, like, we just do it that way? It's the way high school football works, and everyone loves it.
Do they?
They don't have a national champion. Like,
yeah, but do people love high school football?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure they do.
They keep playing it, so they must.
I think high school football exists so that small places have something to do on a Friday night.
And people love it.
That doesn't involve like, opioids.
Well, you can do both, Dan. But I just don't know. I think that's why I like the UCF thing. Make a mockery of it, because this whole concept's stupid. It's college football. Who cares who the fucking champion is? They don't get paid.
Well, here's my favorite thing about what Central Florida's doing. One, they're apparently going to pay their coaches a national championship bonus in their contract.
Yeah, well, you know, except Scott Frost, who's already maxed out his bonuses. So.
Yep. And he's leaving. Yep. You know.
Yeah.
But
well, so are all the other coaches.
He's taking everybody with him?
Most of his staff, yeah. That's why, like, when everybody talked about how great of a job Scott Frost did for that game, I'm like, well, his coaching staff is really what did the great job. Because, I mean, they're leaving too, and they're kind of juggling two things. He can kind of go focus more on Nebraska while they focus on the team, or vice versa. So that whole staff deserves, like, a big round of applause.
That also felt like nobody on the staff wanted to be the interim coach, because they're all leaving.
Yeah.
So yeah. It's like, well, okay, yeah, finish the season, because we don't really
but they're
have
giving
an
everyone, like you said, bonuses. They're going to have a parade. They're going to buy a banner. I love it.
And
who gives a
what
shit?
I like That's the what, best
what
about
college
it.
Football fun.
What I like the best about it is that if Alabama does end up winning the national championship, they totally deserve to have another team, like, claiming they won it instead with no real argument as to why. Because there's nothing more Bama than going, yeah, we won a national championship. You finished 20th. What are you talking about?
Well, the Alabama Sports Writers Association voted for us to be national. But, like, Dan, I think, too, like, people would get mad about that instead of just laughing it off. Like, the problem was these sports writers took Alabama seriously when they claimed national championships. So they're just going, oh, they're just some weird people.
Well, the other thing is that, like, even...
And we don't
like,
have these issues
like,
now.
Bland, like, here, this is one of the most irritating things to me about college sports, and college football in specific, is that people like ESPN or Fox Sports, like, their main news people, will just, like, repeat shit that everybody knows is wrong. Which I guess is what's wrong with news in general, where if, like, an important person told you something, you just go, well, that's their position,
fake
so
news.
It must be true. Instead of, like, no, this guy's, like, clearly full of shit. Like, this guy literally just lied to your face. Just tell him he's lying. Or
yeah, we saw it. I mean, we saw it with the tax bill, you know.
But, like, when Alabama claims they've got 17 national championships or whatever absurd number, the most egregious is Pitt. Because Pitt, like, claims they have, like, 27 national titles and they have, like, one. But, like, when one of these schools, like, claims they're a 9-time national champion, just go, nah, no, you're not. Like, it just on SportsCenter, just go, Pitt, a 1-time national champion. It's like, you don't have to repeat their bullshit PR.
Or you just make fun of them. Go, Pitt, who claims, and do the quotations, kind of treat him like the million-dollar man.
And, like, why does – I understand why ESPN does it, because they own all these bowl games. But why does anybody who's not ESPN call these bowl games by the sponsor name? You
are under no obligation
to call it the Quick Lane Bowl.
Yeah.
Like, you are under no obligation to call it the Vizio Rose Bowl or whatever the fuck they're sponsoring.
You can't piss off the people from Quick Lane.
Like, you work for them. You don't have to call it that. You could call it whatever you want. It's the Charlotte Bowl game. You don't have to call it the Belk Bowl if you don't want to.
It should be called the Belk Bowl.
Well, the Belk Bowl is the best bowl.
The Charlotte Bowl?
You know, the heart of Charlotte Bowl.
Did it even exist? The what was it before the Bill?
Before that, it was the Meineke Car Care Bowl.
But was the original? Did it ever have like an original?
It was well, it didn't exist until it was the Meineke Car Care Bowl.
Oh,
and then the Meineke Car, because like, then the Charlotte Meineke Bowl like moved old. To Texas. I think they're one of like the bullcrap bowls that take place in the Cotton Bowl that aren't called the Cotton Bowl.
Yeah. So yeah, back to the big national championship game, Dan. I think, but you know what? We've been wrong all year. Who knows? This thing can go either way.
Well, yeah, the fact that I feel really Alabama's sure that Alabama's going to win means that Georgia's going to win this thing by 70.
Well, you know, Dan, maybe this is my bigger feeling about the Nat. You know what? I might even say this if you can take off my biasness. Even if Auburn was in it, no team this year really deserves to be national champion.
So let's just leave it vacant. You know?
Yeah, well, that's, like, no one really deserves it this year when you look at it. Like, no one's, like, there's no team where I'm like, they're definitely the best. You know? And how much more fun would it be if we just didn't have one this year? Well, no one's good enough.
No one's good enough. None of you deserved it.
Yeah, no one gets it. Why not?
That's my...
What would it do? Like, A, you'd have way more to talk about on ESPN. You could hype up next year. Is someone going to be good enough to
do someone going to get... Is whoever wins it next year going to get two titles? Does it carry over?
Maybe that's how you do it. You know what? If no one wins the year before, you get the one from last year. That's how you do it. You just keep collect, or you just go with the belt,
or
the team
we
with
hold
the belt
it up,
end of the year.
We hold up the championship and do like a 20-team tournament in the off season. We make it like WrestleMania, and it's like a money in the bank match.
You do a ladder match. Yeah, you do a ladder match. You take the trophy, you hang it above the football field, and first team to bring it down wins.
Yeah, and it's the team that wins that's going to be the team with the most athletic kicker.
Yeah. I'd like to see that.
Because you got to have a guy who's small enough to climb the ladder.
A little more pro wrestling in football would help. But as for my official prediction, I predict the game ends with a terrorist attack.
Cheerful.
I think Iran. See, this is the best time to strike. You get the president there. You get college football, something I guess you would hate if you're Iranian.
I feel like nobody from outside of America even understands what college sports is.
No. So like I said, perfect time to attack, I think, if you're Iran. So that's how I think it ends. I think it ends in a jihad.
I don't think it'll be jihadis. I think it'll be Hydra.
They're brown.
From G.I. Joe. That's how it works. Hail Hydra.
That's how I think that or like a North Korean.
Wait, is Hydra in G.I. Joe or is that Captain America?
That's Captain America. G.I. Joe is Cobra.
Okay.
Clan.
I get them confused.
Right? Yeah. Same thing. They're both an allegory for the IRA. Maybe the IRA attacks.
Oh,
did
you see that terrible Jackie Chan movie with Pierce Brosnan?
Do they fight the IRA?
Yeah, like the bad guys of the IRA in like 2017.
Hell yeah. I want to see the IRA brought back. You know my official stance on Irish people, Dan, but I'd like to see like the IRA kind of be the new terrorist group.
Well, I mean, Great Britain is trying their damnedest to bring back the Troubles, so you might be getting your wish.
Let's do it.
Be careful what you wish for.
Well, you know, remember, if you saw Justice League, I think, like, they were a terrorist group, but I think they were supposed to be the IRA, because it was in London.
I barely paid attention to Justice League. I fell asleep. Wait, no, Justice League, the villain is a guy from, like, from Apocalypse.
No, remember at the beginning, though, when you first see Wonder Woman. Oh,
that's right, it was Irish people.
Were they Irish, too?
I'm pretty sure they were Irish. No. They were right-wing British Nazis who were, like, going to try to start, like, a Britain That's first right. thing.
See, how much better would it be if it was, like, a guy who was like, top of the morning, lad, you know?
We're Irish. We're not old.
He wore, like, one of those, he wore, like, one of those Irish hats and had, like, a Notre Dame cap on or something.
People from Ireland are definitely, like, really big into, like, the Fighting Irish. That is definitely a really big thing.
I was gonna say, they're really into making homemade explosives.
So, well, yeah, obviously. Yeah. I mean, if there's anything I learned from following Ireland's Twitter account the week that Pray for Patrick was in charge of it, it's that everyone in Ireland loves to make explosive devices.
Love to make explosives. They love to stop abortions. They love babies.
That's what they put on their like online dating profiles. Love to make explosives. Must love explosives and dogs.
That was the biggest movie, and that was the remake. It was like Must Love Dogs, but it was Must Love Gasoline.
We have offended every Irish person.
Good. Fuck. If you're Irish, fuck you. Don't listen to the show.
If you're Catholic, you're all right. Proddies get fucked.
If you want to keep ruining the country, we're going to have nothing but Catholic law is going to rule the land, and they're going to install the Pope as the president. You ever think about that, Dan, how, like, Catholics used to just be Muslims? Like in the way sure Americans think about them. No, not in terms of, like, how they live, but, like, in terms of the way, like, Americans think about them.
Oh.
Like, how, like, you know, JFK was the first Catholic president, Obama the first Muslim president, and, like, everyone freaked out about it, you know?
I still feel like there's a lot of things that are wrong about this statement.
Why not? I mean, I think a lot of people felt this way, that the Irish were going to come in and install, you know, Catholic law and make the Pope the president. And they think Muslims are going to do the same thing. They're going to install Obama as president and make Sharia law the law.
I had a textbook in middle school that was written by people mm-hmm. who hated Catholics, and they would not refer to them as Catholics. They referred to them as Romanists.
Ooh, that's...
And there was an entire chapter about how Oliver Cromwell was right. And for people who didn't study history, Oliver Cromwell committed genocide against Irish Catholics. The ones he didn't murder, he shipped off his slaves to Barbados. So
maybe he's doing the right thing.
So that's the first textbook I've ever read to defend a war crime. But I'm sure.
Oh, really?
I'm sure the kids in America.
Have you read
now,
an American history textbook?
I'm sure the kids now like something that's produced by the state of Texas, which is like, you know,
well most
murdering
Indians
was good.
Defend treason, Dan. They defend a terrorist treasoner. His name's John Brown. He was technically a domestic terrorist.
Also was a hero.
John Brown in Kansas.
Me, John Brown. Well, John Brown's my hero.
Not according to my college history professor.
Well, your college history professor could suck my dick.
Well, he was also a Marine, so
fuck him.
He's also a big-time loser.
Marine Todd. Does Marine Todd punch himself if he's the professor?
Yes. No Marine would be a professor. I have a buddy. Well, I wouldn't call him a buddy. I have a guy I've talked to at the bar sometimes.
He slept
he's
with
him. He's a Marine, and he hates teachers, Dan. He's like, I'm going to make more than this teacher told me I was nothing. And I'm just like, okay, why are you still mad?
Like, okay, you proved him wrong. Like, why are you still obsessed with this?
Yeah, why are you talking to me? I told him I was a socialist once, and he got really mad. But I was like, what are you going to do? Shoot a kid in front of me? No, I didn't say that.
He might have done it. That's
he
what you
did,
don't
think,
do
like,
with
Marines.
I think
he knocked over a glass and I just walked away. He did get pretty upset, the Marine, but that's what he gets.
Yeah.
That's what he gets for fighting for my rights.
An ungrateful asshole.
Yeah, what a jerk.
Who just tells him he's an idiot and he screwed up his life.
Yeah, you're an idiot. Nice guy, though. He's okay.
Nice guy. Kind of a sociopath, nice but nice
really,
guy.
Really social, very racist.
No.
You get him to tell you about the... who are the people who take care of the veterans?
The VA?
The VA. He says the VA in Atlanta is very racist. And, like, every other white Marine around him was like, no, they're not. What are you talking about? Like, even the other racist Marines were like, no, this is... You're factually incorrect, sir. So who do you have in that? The new format for the show is just I just start talking.
Yeah, we're
about
just going to let our off-air conversations bleed into the real show.
Just bleed in. This show's going to be like 4 hours long and much better.
Yeah.
So you're taking Bama, though?
I mean, I've bet against Bama too many times this year.
Yeah. Well, lock it up. I've got game ends due to terrorist attack.
Tell your bookie.
Get Alabama. We'll see who's right. I'd probably get Alabama, but I wouldn't be shocked if Georgia won. It feels like Georgia's got all the momentum, but sometimes it doesn't matter when you play Nick Saban, because he's a brick wall.
Nick Saban is just the guy who's just there to ruin everything.
I mean, he's Bowser. That's what you're going through Mario, you're kicking ass, you get to Bowser, and like he beats you in like 2 seconds.
I've never beaten a Mario game.
Wow. Well, maybe a New Year's resolution there for you.
Break out that Super Nintendo and play Mario All-Stars.
SNES Classic, baby.
I'm not about that. You can play that. I'm not about that.
Or SNES Minute, whatever it's called.
SNES. Super Nintendo Entertainment Citizen.
SNES. But yeah, I think that's it from this week. Next week we're going to... Any big plans for next week's show, Dan?
We'll think of something. We'll think of something big for the people.
We'll recap the horror that unfolded at the Mercedes.
The carnage when the fertilizer bomb goes off.
I'll be sure to recap the reactions of Georgia fans from all around Atlanta, win or lose. Will they annoy me?
You'll be our number one correspondent.
I will be. I'll be down there looking through things. So there we go. Before we get out of here, fuck you to Twitter. They suspended our boy Mike Coughlin.
Why?
Leave over Christmas. I think he was tweeting like bigoted stuff. So it doesn't matter. They suspended him. It's ridiculous. So that's my fuck you of the week. Fuck you, Twitter. They brought him back. It was like a 24-hour deal. But still. It was like right before Christmas. Come on. Have a heart.
Not a fan.
Oh, next week? Next week, Dan? Okay, here's the show next week. We're going to finally review Star Wars. A month late. That's the hook for next week. So there we go.
Yeah. Okay. I'm all about it. I'll have my type 12 font New Roman tweet.
I'll have my arguments on how Finn is symbolism for the Islamic Empire, and we'll really break it.
Yeah, we'll have all the details.
I'm gonna go into like 4chan and see what they said. That's what
Jesus.
That's what should be hearing from me.
Jesus. And on that note, because now I gotta wash myself to clear off the thought of 4chan being on this show. Let's play the music, Jason.